This is Wolf's Campfire, and you're about to listen to Three Scary Stalker Stories, Volume 3. You can also check me out on YouTube at youtube.com/wolfscampfire. With that said, whether you're sitting around a campfire, on the night shift, or even laying in bed, let my voice soothe your nightmares. I've been stalking young women weekly for 3 years, but I think the tables have turned. By Hyper Obscura.
Look, I'm not proud of what I do. For the longest time, I even told myself I wasn't going to do it. Stalking young women at night. I was just wandering around, minding my own business. If there so happened to be a young, vulnerable woman walking ahead of me, I could hardly be blamed for that, right? It was just a coincidence that she took the exact same turns as I was going to, crossing the street at the exact same position I was planning to. All coincidental. And what if I stopped and retreated into the shadows when she turned around anxiously? What of it? I just didn't want to be seen is all. She might think I was a stalker or something. It's called self-delusion, I guess. A failure to recognize reality. But at the same time, I'm not doing anything wrong. Not really. It's not like I'm planning to harm them. I'm not some sexual predator or anything. Is it even sexual? If so, I'd label it a sexual deviancy, not a perversion. I just enjoy the adrenaline rush. And the knowledge that I know I am in control. The exhilarating feeling of power. When I've reached that high, I just turn around and head back home. No harm, no foul. I've been at it for almost 3 years now, so you could say I'm quite experienced in the field. When I first started out, I was clumsy and stupid, often making mistakes seen and heard my way too early, choosing targets in my own neighborhood, sometimes even targets I knew. I'm a fast learner, though. So now, I take the train a couple of towns over, spend the evening there doing my thing, then take the train right back home. I'll switch it up as often as I can, never the same town twice in a week. I keep extensive updated records of restaurants and bars, of which hosts most of my prime targets, and will sit for hours canvassing a place before I choose it. But I won't move on just anyone, on any evening. The night must be right. It was a night just like that when I saw her. Late autumn, windy, very dark and no rain. I had been wandering around the block for hours. By then, almost ready to give up. When I saw them leaving the restaurant, a first date, had to be. That awkward hug and anxious small talk. Something in her eyes telling me she really wasn't that interested. The guy seemed miffed and flustered when they parted ways. I followed her from across the street. The first few are always interesting. They don't suspect anything yet. They feel safe and in control. Doesn't matter if they see you then. You're just someone walking, minding their own business. All the way on the other side of the street. Harmless. She glanced over a couple of times, and I decided it was time to disappear, retreat into the shadows. I held back for a little while, and when she disappeared around a corner, I counted to 10 before I followed after her. Just as I crossed the street, though, I was surprised to see him, the date. It seemed they didn't part on the best of terms. You could tell by that aggressive walk that he was up to no good. He disappeared around the corner after her, and I suddenly found myself hesitating. Was this really my business? I could just turn around, head home, and think nothing of it. I hadn't done anything wrong after all. And even if I followed him, what could I do? The guy was twice my size, and he'd probably crumple me up like a piece of paper without breaking a sweat. But I do have a conscience. Reading this, you might think I'm just some weirdo stalker loser. But I swear, I'm a pretty decent guy. A real gentleman, too. I'll have you know, holding doors for women and all that. Giving them roses on Valentine's Day. I have nothing but respect for women is what I'm trying to say. I bit my lip nervously and picked pace across the street after them, not knowing what the hell I was getting myself into. But I figured it was the right thing to do. And maybe I didn't even have to get involved at all. Maybe it was all some silly misunderstanding. I knew the place well. I'd canvassed the neighborhood thoroughly, and I'd taken a mental note of the park. I usually don't like working in parks. Too many perverts and weirdos. But this one seemed well-lit, and easily traversable. I caught up to them after about a minute, and silently crouched down behind a tree. It sounded like a heated debate was going on, but only the guy seemed to be talking. Couldn't quite make out what he was trying to say, but he seemed real agitated. I don't know if it was the sudden explosion in the lamppost above me, the horrible wail echoing throughout the park, or maybe it was the blood squirting in a straight line past me, but I suddenly felt really vulnerable. I'd failed to assess the situation correctly, and no, I was the one in danger. He could probably break my neck in a second, I kept thinking. I glanced nervously around the tree, and had to quickly cover my mouth with my hand to avoid screaming. I can't tell you what she was. Not human, that's for sure. It was dark, though, so my eyes might have been deceiving me. But I swear, I could see fangs, and claws, and skin stretched unbelievably thin over an impossibly tall, lanky, pale figure. The guy was down. I could see the blood pumping rhythmically from the gaping wound in his throat. She reached down and grabbed his face, and then I ran. Bolted down the path I came from, never once looking back. But I could feel her following me, though. Feel her eyes on me. A hungry, merciless, terrible gaze. Adrenaline pumped through my body, but I didn't feel good. Didn't feel the excitement I was used to, and I was definitely not in control anymore. I made it to the train station in one piece, horrified and exhausted. I considered calling the cops and leaving an anonymous tip or something, but nothing is really anonymous these days, is it? There's always a way to find you. So, I didn't. I chickened out and took the first train back home. I couldn't sleep for weeks. That face, that thing, haunted me in my sleep. So, I did what I do best. Went out in the evenings, found myself a young woman, and did my thing. It was soothing being back in control. Helped keep the creeping paranoia at bay. I never went back to that particular neighborhood, though. Not even that particular town. Just couldn't risk running into her again. Anyways, I kept this up for a month. A few nights a week, maybe two or three. And I guess I soon just forgot about it. I mean, honestly, I didn't. But I tricked myself into believing I did. Self-delusion, I guess. I was still checking the news every day for any mention of a headless, mutilated body, but nothing ever came close to matching that particular description. And I'd soon find out why. I was just returning from a wonderful night. I'd followed this young lady for about 30 minutes, and near the end, I could practically feel her feeling me. She started walking at a rapid pace, taking swift turns, halfway jogging around corners. I kept it up until she started running. That was my cue to head on home. I don't think anything was different. I mean, looking back at it, everything was normal. I arrived at my apartment a little later than usual, maybe 2 or 3 a.m., and locked myself in without noticing anything out of the ordinary. I walked into the kitchen, poured myself a glass of water, and put away the contents of my backpack, and sat down on my couch, and stumbled back in shock, shrieking hysterically like a little child. It was placed neatly on top of my living room table, the stench of it suddenly all too real. Covered in hundreds of writhing, disgusting maggots, his eyes were gone, just hollow, empty holes. His mouth was open, tongue stretched down to his chin. He was the guy, the date. In the foul-fetid pond of blood now completely covering the table, there was a note, a white piece of paper just floating around in it. I felt bile rising rapidly to my throat as I read the crimson message. You're next.
Dear Stalker, by Sweet Dreams, my friend.
Dear Stalker, I know you're reading this right now. You're probably even sitting in your car across the street looking into my bedroom window. Or did you walk here? You just looked up, didn't you? Oh, it's okay. I can't see you. It's far too dark outside for me to see the creeps of this world. But I know you're there. You always are, right behind me. Without a doubt, always watching from the sidelines. Just like a shadow. I can always feel your eyes staring at me. Like that feeling you get when you know someone's there, watching over your shoulder. Except for me, that feeling never goes away. Thank you for making me feel terrified to leave my house. Thank you for making me not feel safe anywhere, not even in my own bedroom. I don't know why you're following me, or what it is that you want, or who you are. But just know, you can't stay in the shadows forever. Someday, I'm going to catch you. Please, you need to stop leaving those creepy love notes on my doorstep, or the flowers in my locker at school with the cryptic messages, and please stop following me. I've lost all relationships with my friends because they got scared by your threatening messages. Which, I'm sure, is what you wanted. So, mission accomplished. You are single-handedly ruining my life. I've always tried talking to my parents about you, but they just think I'm a typical teenage girl screaming for attention, and if my own parents won't take me seriously, there's no way the police will. So, I guess I will just have to take things into my own hands. My parents are currently working, which I'm sure you know, since you are still sitting there, aren't you? The windows and doors are all locked, yet here I am, terrified. I don't know what to do anymore, and I can't stand living like this any longer. Everyone tells you high school is supposed to be the best 4 years of your life, but thanks to you, they have been the worst. I can't do anything without the fear of you being right there. Soon, it will be all over. You see, while you've been reading this post, you've forgotten to keep your eyes on my bedroom window. Even though my curtains are shut, I still have a lamp on, so I'm sure you can still see my shadow. Well, I just went into my mother's medicine cabinet. And well, she's had some pretty bad back pain a few months ago and still has some painkillers left over. So, I decided, since no one seems to care about me or believe me, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. This is the only way I will truly get rid of you. It's better this way. You will never be able to hurt me anymore. So, I guess that's it. You won. But don't you worry. I'm the one stalking you from now on. Update. This is Stalker. Well, sort of. I'm here to clarify a few things. I'm not a stalker. I'm an undercover agent. And I've been following this subject as we thought she was in great danger. We were right. Someone has been leaving her notes and flowers, but it wasn't me. We were trying to figure out who it was. Things were much darker than we thought. The notes were laced. The subject started becoming more paranoid, and we had to take her into custody and detain her, especially after seeing this post she made. We need to protect her. She has been getting help. Please, don't worry. Unfortunately, we cannot give you any more information, as we need to keep her privacy and keep her safe from the threat.
My 10-Year Stalker by Roxaholics Anonymous.
I went to this daycare center that my elementary school had on campus. It was for kids whose parents worked late hours and didn't want their kids to be home alone. But they also were open during the summertime. This is where I met Allie. She was a grade older than me. She was also in special ed classes because she was not super smart academically, which meant I never got to see her during school time. It's also important to know that I was a regular there for summer, and this was the first time Allie was a part of the child care group. Unfortunately, the kids at the school were entitled, so they would bully any new people. Allie was a prime target. The day we met, I stopped a bully who was picking on Allie because of her dress, pigtails, and glasses. I was known for standing up to kids back then, so I told the bully to stop. Bully yields because he knew what I could do to him, which is another story for another time, and backed off. I asked if she was okay, and she looked me in the eyes and said she was fine. The look she gave me was like a starstruck look that people give when they fall for someone, but as a kid, I wasn't into girls yet, so I brushed it off. I told her if she was being picked on again, to find me, and I'll help her any way I can. That was my first mistake. Throughout the summer, she would follow me constantly. She basically became my shadow. It got to the point where if people saw us, they thought we were together. Some days, I wouldn't come in because my mom was off or something. The day I come back, she would say, "Yahoo!" And I got an instant hug from her, much to my dismay. I was not comfortable with her always being in my presence. So, I told her that she should try to make friends with other people because she would get tired of me at some point. She told me other people were mean to her, and I was the only one who was going to stick up for her. I felt bad because she wasn't wrong at all. She was not well liked because she looked so easy to pick on. I, reluctantly, told her it was fine. Summer was almost over anyway, so I wasn't going to see her anymore, right? Wrong. My school had this thing where two grades would alternate for recess and lunch together. Fifth and sixth graders shared this time slot. I'm in the fifth grade during this time. I'm with my friends during recess and we're all talking, waiting for our turn on the handball court, when I hear a "Yoo-hoo!" behind me. Allie found me and gave me her death grip hug. My friends were all confused, and I told Allie that I had to go and that I'd be back. I went to see my other friend group on the jungle gym and never went back. This went on for days, until I just went to a teacher and told them about what happened. They told me that Allie was not going to be playing during recess or lunch with our grades anymore, but she was never told why, because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I was really nice back then, and I hated being mean unless I absolutely needed to. I didn't see her for 2 years and forgot all about it. Junior high starts, and I was excited to start in a new school. I found my friends, tried to see what classes we had together, all that jazz. At some point in the day, I hear a familiar sound. "Yoo-hoo!" Oh, crap. I turn around and it was Allie. The thing was, she looked different. She changed her whole look. No glasses, not a weird dress, and she let her hair down. I almost didn't recognize her. She gave me that death grip hug and asked why she looked so different. She told me that after we were separated, she needed to adapt so she wouldn't be a victim. She became very popular in my friend group, and eventually, I came around too. After school ended, we stayed in contact. She would blow up my phone with text every day saying she misses me. I told her I was having an Independence Day barbecue and asked if she wanted to come. We had a great time, and she asked me if I wanted to be her BF. I honestly didn't see her in the same light, but at the time, I was just happy a girl wanted to be with me. So, I foolishly said yes. Big mistake number two. She would start high school while I was in my last year of junior high. We had been dating for 3 months, and she would always find a way to pick a fight over the phone. I was in a dark place in my life, so this didn't help my self-esteem. One day, she told me she was going to a party and wanted me to come because the guy was hitting on her and wanted me to come as protection. I asked my parents and they said no. I told her and she exploded, saying if I don't go, she would cheat on me. I snapped and told her if she did, she would never see me again. The next day, she came to me at school, and to this day, I don't know if she got off school. She said to meet her at the fence just outside it. With a pissed off face on her look, she said she cheated on me. I said that we were done and walked away. I can hear her in the background that she was sorry, but I didn't care. I was smart enough to know I will never let her in my life again. She would blow up my phone with a mix of apologies and threats to me and my friends. I just blocked her. Unfortunately, the story isn't even over. Second semester of sophomore year comes. I was in a really good place. I was in good classes that I was doing well in. I had a new friend group, and I was with a beautiful girl. It was quiet, no sign of any crazies, until Valentine's Day. I was taking my then-girlfriend to see a movie when I saw her. Allie was with some dude I knew. She broke up with him on the spot and saw me with my girlfriend in hand. Sobbing, she came up to me and gave me a death grip hug and tried to kiss me. I pushed her away before she had a chance, and I told her to screw off. But she told a lie, saying something to convince my girlfriend that I was cheating on her with Allie. I was so close to punching her in the face for doing something like that. But we just went to see the movie. I didn't see her for months, until my best friend told me that he had a new girlfriend. I was so happy for him, until I found out it was her. I warned my buddy about her, but he didn't listen. About 3 months later, they broke up. He told me all she would talk about was me. She would ask about what I was doing, how my girlfriend stole me from her, and that I was too blind to see how great she was for me. I just about had enough and went to the principal, who knew me on good terms and told him what happened. All they could do was tell her not to go near me anymore. So, I was okay with that. Then, I entered my senior year, and she made it even worse. When my girlfriend and I broke up, Allie found a way to contact me to convince me to get back together, with each time being a rejection. I started going on dates with other girls, and I would somehow see her at each date I was on. I honestly didn't know how she found me, but one night, she went too far. I was with a one-night stand in my car, and things got intense. To spare the pornographic details, we were about to get it on until I heard a tap on the window with a flashlight in my face. I thought it was a cop. Luckily, we were both 18, parked in a legal spot. I put on my pants and opened the door to be met with Allie. I told her to go away and never come around me again. She told me she wanted to join in. I told her no and got my pocket knife out so she would go away. She complied and left. I told my date that I needed to go home and I'd drive her back to her place when she was ready to go. When I get home, I saw something out of place. My window faced the front of the house and I saw that it was open and my screen cover was cut. I called my parents to get my brother and leave the house now. I called the cops and they said they couldn't find anything. Luckily, no one was hurt, and I was moving houses soon, and told no one about my address yet. I graduate, and was about to start working a full-time job at my dad's company. I was in a new house and kept in touch with only people I trusted. I had just started dating my now girlfriend, who Allie threatened, but that was easily handled. This event happened last week. I'm now 21. I had just quit my old job and started a new one last week. Coworkers told me they recently fired the employee whose job I took because she kept flirting with male coworkers. I thought nothing of it and went home. That night, I was reading some stories on here and saw a flash from my window. I was stunned and saw a figure outside my window. Keep in mind, the window where my room is in my new house is protected by a brick wall and a metal gate that is always locked. My room is also on the second floor. I see that face of the perpetrator. It was Allie. I ran downstairs and out the front door. I saw her about to get to her truck with a ladder she used to see in my window, and tried to pull her out of the car. She was trying to scream abuse, so I had to let her go. She drove off, but I luckily had my phone and took a picture of the car and the license plate. She was arrested for trespassing. I took her to court, and she was found guilty very fast. I later found out Allie was the one who got me fired from my old job, which is how she got my address. So, I then filed for a restraining order against her just in case.
Unfortunately, I know deep down, she won't give up until she wins. I'm not going to be safe until I leave my town, or date her again. I still feel like she has people watching my every move for her, and I fear she will find me and hurt me, my family, my girlfriend, and my friends. I sometimes wonder what would happen if I had just let her get beaten up. If I had just turned away that one time, maybe all of this could have been avoided. Update. It's been about 6 months since I posted this, and I've moved to a new state. I don't look the same anymore. I changed my hair, got rid of any clothes I used to wear in high school, and got a few tattoos. I came home for the holidays 2 days ago, and my friend picks me up to take me to see my family. Yesterday, I was going to go out with a few friends to have lunch until I found out something on my porch. It was a box addressed to me. I had to open the box. Curiosity got the better of me. When I opened it, it was someone's ear. I called the police and they told me they would find out whose it was. My friend came to me to comfort me. She also told me that something happened last week that I thought I should know. Allie had apparently taken her own life a week before I came home. The strange thing was, she was missing her ear before she did it, and they never found where the ear went.